You're listening to Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. Stay connected by rating, subscribing, and commenting on whatever platform you're listening to us on. And now for this week's episode. Hey guys, it's Eva, and I'm here with another episode of Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. If you are listening for the first time, welcome. We are on pretty much any platform that you listen to your podcast on because, hey, you're currently listening to us. So with that being said, make sure you rate, subscribe, and comment on whatever platform you're listening on and leave a comment because, like I always say, that helps me out and is also helpful for your fellow listeners. So yeah, let's get into this. We are discussing Aladdin. I know it's been a minute since we've discussed the movie, but here we are. I like literally had to drag myself to the theater because, you guys, it has been a thing trying to get to the movie theaters. But I was like, we're getting to the theater. So I went on a Tuesday because that was literally the only, I could barely go on that day, but I made it and we are here. And I'm actually glad and excited that I got to go to the movies. And it made me be like, oh my gosh, I miss going to the movies as much as I was going to the movies. But we are getting back on track with the movie thing. But yeah, little side tangent, but let's talk about Aladdin. So Aladdin, which premiered on May 24th. So it opened on a 4-day weekend, Memorial Day weekend, and it did beat expectations. I think they were expecting it to do between, oh, don't quote me, I literally just looked at this. I believe it was like 65 to 85 million they were expecting it to do because Disney hasn't really been doing well with Memorial Day weekend openers, but it beat expectations. It ended up being the number 5th biggest Memorial Day weekend opening for a movie. As far as money, it did for like our standard 3-day weekend, it did $91 million. For the 4-day Memorial Day weekend, it did $116 million. And then a total, including internationally to date, we are at $255.8 million. And the budget was $183 million. And Aladdin, of course, stars Will Smith, Mina Masood, Naomi Scott. I don't know, I'm like, there's more, but there are actually more people. But those are the three that I put in my actual notes. And then, of course, it was directed by Guy Ritchie, and the screenplay was by Guy Ritchie and John August. So now that we got the official stuff out of the way, let's talk about this movie. I'm super excited about this because, as you guys know, I, of course, like most majority of millennials grew up with Disney movies, or most majority of anyone really, but grew up around with Disney movies. And when we talk about like VHS tapes, we had a shelf that was literally 90 to 95% Disney movies. So we pretty much owned almost every Disney movie on tape. So, and I've said this before in previous podcast episodes, that I have always been that kid who would watch movies, like animated movies, and think about and dream about and imagine what it would look like if it had real life people acting in it, thus our live action. That's why I get so excited about these live action Disney movies. And I'm always like, I feel like I'm in the minority because I feel like a lot of people don't want it. They want new stuff. But I have to give it up to Disney because even with, though they're redoing some of these old stories that we have grown up with and love, even though a lot of them were problematic if you really think about it, but that's neither here nor there, they still find a way to make it fresh. And while it still gives us that nostalgia that we want, we also get a new perspective. And I think it's really great for those kids who are coming up today to not only be able to see those older movies, but just to see like how we as a people have evolved, even though we still have a lot of work to do. But that's not what this is about. But how we have evolved as a people and how these movies have evolved and how we view women or princesses, because they're all focused around Disney princesses, but how we view the Disney princesses. And so, I don't know, I was just also, like I do for every single live action Disney movie that I watch, was sitting there just thinking about what this means for the girls of today and kind of how we're reshaping these tried and true stories. But we're going to get into all of that because I do still have a few metrics, if you will, to give you, because you guys know I love to talk about it. So let's talk about some scores here. Let's talk about Rotten Tomatoes. So when we got the trailer for Aladdin during the Super Bowl, and we're also going to talk about just how much Disney promoted the bejesus out of this movie. But we did get the first trailer during the Super Bowl, and it was very quick, very short. And I was all like, oh my gosh, like eyes bright, wide and shining. And then we got to see the genie and I was like, okay, I don't know what to think. And I wasn't the only one. A lot of people were like, what was that as far as the look of the genie, like how they did the CGI for him. And it gave a lot of people pause. So a lot of people were hesitant about if this was going to be a good movie. I was even hesitant because I was just like, I don't know. I mean, our tech has evolved so much in movies and how we create these things visually that it should not be that hard to make the genie look good. I mean, come on. We've made animals, talking animals look good. We've made CGI babies look good. We should be able to make a genie look good. So I was a little hesitant. So going into this, I was like, whatever. And then we had all that controversy around the casting earlier on where people were like, it should be this person who should play Aladdin, all this. I feel like it was way more angst and opinion around who Aladdin should be versus Jasmine. And then of course that they be cast correctly as far as the ethnicity was concerned. And so Disney took their time with casting. They gave us a fairly new cast. And I was looking through their IMDb profiles. And I was just like, credits. And I was just like, I don't really think I've seen them. Like, they have credits for movies that I've seen, but I honestly can't remember seeing them in them. And I think the one who has, I would say, the most that I've watched would be Naomi Scott, because apparently she was Kimberly in Power Rangers. I would have to go back and think about that, because Power Rangers was like a few years ago. But whatever. Also, are we getting another Power Rangers? I thought we were getting a second one, but that's not what this is about. So yeah, so they were a fairly new cast, all except Will Smith. And then of course, because Will is playing the genie, and the genie we have known and learned and loved and grown with was voiced by Robin Williams, that comes with a whole nother thing. And I think honestly, when we start to get into these Rotten Tomato and critic scores, that seemed to be the focus of a lot of the critic scores that I've seen. And I feel like the audience really was just like, no, this was actually a great movie. And honestly, I put off seeing this movie, and I was going to see it. I was going to wait to see it for the following weekend just because I just didn't have time. Then I was like, oh my gosh, Rocket Man is coming out and I need to see that. So I was like, whatever. And so it was pretty much word of mouth, which helped propel me even further to even go and see this movie today. So I'm just putting that out there. But Rotten Tomatoes, critic score 58%, audience score 94%. So clearly, that is a huge difference. The cinema score is an A, which makes sense. Like I said, it's been getting a lot of great word of mouth. And I'm talking about in real life for me, word of mouth. People who have seen it have enjoyed it and had good things to say about it. And even online, I've been seeing really great response to it. So I don't know what's going on with critics here. And this is, again, one of those things when I start talking about, like, how much value do we put on the critic score anymore? And that's why I incorporate the audience score, because I feel like somewhere in the middle, you'll find your medium, if you will. And for me, I feel like the critic score for this is a little bit too low. I've even seen some articles. I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to call some people out. I want to say it was on the New York Times, but it was an article about how, even though they changed how Jasmine is and try to make her more progressive, that's still not enough. And I'm just like, you guys, do we have to make every single thing an issue? This, at the end of the day, this is a kids movie. You guys know how I feel about kids movies. We can be as critical as we want it to be, but it's still a PG movie. So like, its main target audience is probably younger people, but with a Disney movie, it's a little bit different because it does, like, their target range is a little bit wider than your normal, like, family, kid type of a movie. But like, I feel like even still, let's just get into it. That's all I have to say about the scores. We're just going to get into what I thought. So of course I went on Discount Tuesday, because it's not really $5 anymore. I went on Discount Tuesday and I saw it in IMAX. I originally was not supposed to see it in IMAX. I was supposed to see it in like the regular format, but I just literally could not make it in time. And so I had to move it to a show that was 30 minutes later. And that was the IMAX show. You guys know I love IMAX. IMAX to me is like the one of the best viewing experiences. And I usually like to see it mostly for like action type of movies. But for this, I mean, it still looked good. I did have some issues when things were moving really, really fast where it looked a little bit blurry. So I don't know if it was just me or if anyone else was feeling that and kind of like a little bit dizzying. I don't know. I haven't really done enough like research to see if other people have mentioned this, but I did get that. And it kind of also kind of played into the style of the movie in general, because it was a lot of like when Aladdin is doing parkour through the streets. Some of that was a little bit like where they try to make it look super fast, and some of the dancing where they try to make the moves look like the person was being pulled super quickly. I don't know. That was like an editing directional choice. So there's that, but I do think it still looked good. It sounded great. I enjoyed it. For a Tuesday night IMAX theater showing at 6 p.m., the theater was, for the most part, I want to say it was like 70, maybe 75% full. The audience was totally in it. People were laughing. There was no singing. Thank God there was no singing. I was singing in my head, but there was no outward singing. And then at the end of the movie, everyone broke out into applause, which I was slightly surprised by, because, you know, that only really happens at like Marvel movies, if I'm being honest. So the fact that everyone, oh, and Bohemian Rhapsody, I believe they clapped at the end of that. But like, it's just like random, like either Marvel or some type of a biopic. I don't know. So yeah, so everyone clapped at it, and I felt like the audience was really engaged, and it was a good mixture of people. It was a good, like I said, Disney, it hits a wider range, age range, target range, whatever. So it was a mix of like kids, well-behaved kids, because I didn't really hear any kids in the theater, so thank you for that. But it was like kids and families up to adults, so like my age, like millennials, and then even older. And there was a good mixture of genders. There was a lot of guys in there, which I was surprised, but not really surprised, because that's going to bring me into the promo, because Disney promoted the heck out of Aladdin, which is why I think it did the numbers it did for its opening weekend. They promoted during Super Bowl. They had it on all of their ABC Disney platforms, so Freeform, ABC, like every single commercial you can think of. They really targeted the male gender, the male dominate or whatever. They really targeted the male audience, making sure to put it out there during the Super Bowl and like sporting events. It also, they had the trailer before a lot of the bigger movies that a lot of guys tend to attend. So like Shazam and Avengers. So, I mean, they really pushed this movie out there. And I've seen Will Smith, I feel like just his online presence has quadrupled in the last year. But even he was like really pushing it, and even seeing the cast just on everything. So they promote the heck out of this movie. So kudos to them. It paid off because they had a great opening weekend. So let's get into what I thought about this movie, because you guys, I really don't think this is going to be that long, because like, I'm just going to get straight to the point. I enjoyed this movie. I really did. I honestly went in there with, I don't want to say no expectations, but I went in there with low expectations, because I had my own personal reasons for why I was hesitant to feel like I was going to enjoy this. Some of it had to do with the casting a little bit, because, you know, when you turn a cartoon into a live action person, and I was like one of those people who was kind of invested in who was going to be cast as Aladdin, and there were a lot of names being thrown out there, and some of those names I was agreeing with. Of course, none of them were cast, and then we ended up with this person who I like no one really was familiar with, but he did a great job at the end of the day. But prior to that, that's just how I was coming into this. I was just like, oh, I don't know who this is. I mean, I guess he's cute, whatever. Like, just being a brat about it. And then even like, I feel like I did it. I had so much attention paid to who Aladdin was going to be that when Jasmine was cast, I was just like, whatever. It is what it is. So then actually getting, and then I just kind of, because you guys know me, once they put all that information out there, then I don't need to see trailers, all of that, because I just don't want or need to see it. So I went to the movie like, I honestly don't remember what these people look like, because I haven't really been watching a lot of things outside of like Will Smith stuff. I did see Mina in some Will Smith video. It was like a video of him, and it was like I was at the theater. It wasn't a trailer, it was just a random video that played. I don't know, it was weird. So like, it was like whatever. And so get in there, I was like, okay, wait, like still Aladdin. It took me I'm going to be brutally honest, because you guys know I love to be honest, that isn't my thing, so we're going to be honest. It took me a minute to warm up to this Aladdin. So I was just like, is this how, like, you know how when you read a book and they turn that book into a movie or TV show, and in your head while you were reading that book, you had this very specific look in your head, and then you see what they did on screen and you're like, this is not what I had in my mind. And so it takes you a minute to chip away at that stone of a vision that you've had all this time. So for me, that's kind of what it was for Aladdin, and it took me a minute. But when he turned into Prince Ali, I was like, okay. I was like, okay, he's cute. Okay, he can be Aladdin. Like, I don't know. It just took them pulling the hair back. And I was like, okay, then. I'll take this version of Aladdin. So it took me a minute to warm up to him as Aladdin. But overall, I think the performances were pretty strong for the most part. Naomi Scott as Jasmine, I think she looked like what Jasmine would look like in real life to me. So that wasn't really surprising. I don't know why I just was not heavily invested in Jasmine as I was into Aladdin. But I thought everyone did a great job. Also, the actor who played Jafar, because I didn't put him in my actual notes, but Marwan Kenzari, I think he did really well, and he was had a solid performance as Jafar. But I think the thing that surprised me the most was the singing, because you guys know I am 100% like, I love musicals, and a part of the appeal for me with Disney movies is just the singing and the just, you get to be free. And even though it's like unrealistic how fast people fall in love, it's still like, oh, lovey, happy. And you guys know I don't love those type of movies, but Disney just gets a pass for me because it's Disney. But like, I was surprised by the singing. And I think I was trying to think back to Beauty and the Beast, because I know they sang in that, but it just did not like stick out for me like how I wanted it to, because I like Beauty and the Beast is my favorite movie, Disney movie of all time, hands down. There is no other Disney movie that has the number one slot for me. But for Aladdin is definitely in my top five, and the songs are really what makes it land there. And I think they did all of the songs, all the performances of the songs were so good. They were so fun. We even got a new song, Speechless, that was performed by Naomi Scott to more so give us our more progressive forward thinking Jasmine, who doesn't want to just pick who her husband's gonna be. No, she wants to be the first female sultan. So like, move over, Mels, because there's a new lady in town. Not really new, but like, you get what I'm saying. So I thought the songs were really, really done well. I think my favorite performance, hands down, was A Whole New World. I thought that looked so good and just so realistic. And when you think of that in the animated version and then to see it in live action, and it feels like they're on a carpet, it feels like they're flying over Akbar, and you're just like, oh my gosh, this, it just feels like a Disney movie. And I think they did that so, so well. What I did take note of one of the interviews that they did. So Naomi and Mina talked about how they shot that scene. And so they said that they built a rig that was 30 feet off the ground, and it had a robotic arm that the rig sat on, and it moved any which way because it had 32 different points of hydraulics attached. And then they also said it was very uncomfortable. They had them strapped in and harnessed in so they wouldn't fall off. But once they started singing, like, and the song started playing, you, like, they completely forgot that they were in this contraption and they just performed it. And it just looked so amazing. That was probably my favorite performance. And then my next favorite performance was Prince Ali, because that one was so fun. And I just want to say that everything looks so colorful, even though, because, and this is my other thing, because a lot of people are like, it's not like the animated movie. I'm like, it's only so much you can do with a live action version versus an animated version. I was surprised they had Aladdin moving around and jumping off things like he was in this, because in the movie, I mean, it's a cartoon, so you can pretty much throw him off buildings and he can land on his feet. But they had Aladdin doing parkour in this. But I was a little bit surprised by that. But, like, it was still really good for it to be not be animated. So I don't know what all that was about. I thought it came alive on screen. The colors of it was, well, everything looked good outside of, like, the little bit of blurriness / dizziness that I got in the, it was more in the beginning than anything, but yeah. And then as far as Will Smith as Genie, and this is my thing, Robin Williams is Robin Williams, and he is going to, like, be undefeated, untouched in his own lane. And Will Smith even said, like, he wanted to be sensitive to his performance and he didn't want to step on that. And so I feel like you cannot then be like, Will Smith's not Robin Williams, or Robin Williams did it better. It's like, why can't two people do a performance and do it in their own ways? Yes, Robin Williams is iconic, but Will Smith is being the genie in this new type of a Disney movie, because it's a little more progressive. It's a little different. It's more inclusive. They got rid of a lot of the problematic things from the animated version. So, like, why can't we just focus on that? And that's a lot of the things that get on my nerves with just opinions in general on movies and TV shows that are a redo of an older version, is like, whatever. But I mean, when you're comparing an animated movie to a live action movie, yeah, there are going to be some similarities, but it's still like comparing an apple to an orange. Just putting that out there like that. But yeah, so I thought Will Smith did good. I thought he was super hilarious. My favorite scene or sequence in this entire movie was when Aladdin as Prince Ali meets Princess Jasmine and the Sultan for the first time. That whole thing was so funny. I was literally crying. I am not kidding. And you guys know it's hard to make me laugh, but I was in tears. The entire theater was in tears. One girl was just in so much hysterics, she could not stop laughing. Like, that scene was hilarious. I think Will Smith did good as a genie, so forget what anyone else is saying. You get my approval. So yeah, I think that's pretty much all I want to say as far as the actual movie. Yeah, I talked about the acting, I talked about the songs, I talked about the reception and demographic, I talked about my favorite scenes. So yeah, I think this is a very rewatchable movie. I think this is going to become a classic, like the Aladdin in itself, like a classic for this newer generation that's coming up. And I don't know, I was just thinking about that while I was watching it. I said this earlier, but I was thinking about it while I was watching. I was like, these girls coming up now and guys get to see, like, these progressive characters, and they're more forward thinking, and they are stepping into owning more of who they are versus the older Disney movies where it's like, the girl's always saved by the guy and blah, blah, blah. And I did think for a minute that Aladdin and Jasmine were not going to get married, because I was like, I would not be surprised if that's what happened, because, you know, Disney has been trying to be, when I say they're trying to be progressive, they're trying to be progressive times like five. So I was like, oh, they're probably not going to have her marry him. So I was surprised that they actually ended up getting married. But I also, like, the little kid in me wanted them to get married anyway. So I was okay with it. But I know they were like, I did see a few things where people were like, well, she didn't need to marry him or whatever. But I'm like, oh, it's Aladdin 1. And then 2, it's like, it's Jasmine and Aladdin. They just have to be together because they are just so cute. And honestly, Naomi and Mina had great on-screen chemistry. And you're just like, oh, I want you guys to be together. Like I said, once Aladdin became Prince Ali, I was like, okay, I'm sold. I don't know why it took him becoming Prince Ali, but I was just like, okay, like, you are Aladdin and I'm okay with it. So yeah, I think that's pretty much all I have to say. I did want to mention this because I didn't make a note of it. I put Disney Plus, Netflix, and Hulu because Disney is launching their streaming service in the fall. Disney Plus will be one of many streaming services that are coming up. And I've talked about this a little bit in multiple previous episodes of if I'm going to get it, what that's going to look like, because I pay for two streaming services, but I have a lot of streaming services because I have access to other people's accounts, but that's neither here nor there. And so I've talked about if I even want to pay for another one. And then Netflix was kind of struggling for a little bit for me. And it was one of those ones where I was like, do I want to get rid of it? And because also Disney is pulling all their stuff from Netflix, and then NBC and what's the other one? CBS are trying to do their own like streaming services. So I'm just like, what's going to be left on Netflix? And it's just going to be original content. But then they kind of like, some of the original content for me was falling flat, but then they kind of picked it up, even though some of it still was like, I don't know. So I don't even know what it's going to look like for me personally when Disney Plus launches, because you guys know that there's going to be a lot of stuff on there that I'm sure I'm going to want to watch specifically related to Marvel. But it did bring up this conversation about looking at the success of Aladdin, since Aladdin did beat expectations, and knowing that we're going to get Disney Plus, and looking at that, what type of audience that would be who would go there. And so I was reading an article that was talking about how like they think that about 30% of people are going to move, like guaranteed are going to move to Disney Plus. So that's taken away from Netflix. And this is talking about Disney Plus probably being the first streaming service that could dethrone Netflix. So like 30% of, this is where we're getting about to get like super like kind of boring, but 30% of subscribers can move to Disney Plus, and then not account for the people who overlap, who have like multiple services, and then not even counting the people saying who they're going to leave Netflix, because people always say, oh, I'm going to cancel Netflix or whatever, but they don't actually do it. So like that's 30%. And then Disney also has a huge share and a huge stake in Hulu. So, I mean, it's kind of like, what does that mean for Netflix, and what will Netflix look like once Disney Plus actually launches? And Disney, like I was saying, they get to pull on those nostalgic heartstrings, which I feel like has been a thing for the last couple of years. And I honestly don't see it slowing down. And so if they take all their Disney stuff and they can throw it on there, and then they can create new stuff with all of these nostalgic things that we have, like, it's like, what does that look like? So I don't know. I think that's very interesting. And I'm excited to see how this all plays out as far as where my coin is going to land. I don't know, because like I said, Netflix raised their prices, and the only reason why, and I honestly planned to cancel it when they did, but the only reason I didn't is because Hulu lowered their price. So it ends up being the same amount that I'm paying per month for streaming. But then I didn't look up, I know Disney had announced what the price is going to be and what you're going to get for Disney Plus when it launches. I didn't look it up, but again, that's just another thing that I'm paying for. So I don't know. That was my little Disney Plus, Hulu, Netflix tangent. But yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say, guys. Like I said, I enjoy this movie. I think it's very rewatchable. I think it's honestly going to become a classic. I think this is going to be the first live action Disney movie that's going to be like a solid classic. Because I don't know, it was just really, really good. And they even said, because they also, we got Dumbo earlier in the year, and I still have not seen Dumbo, but they said like, they said Aladdin did more in this opening weekend than Dumbo did since it's been in theaters, which is kind of sad. But I also, and Dumbo's like, it's one of those Disney movies where you either saw it or you didn't see it. And so when I was talking about trying to see Dumbo, a lot of people were like, they never even watched Dumbo when the animated version. So I don't know. But as far as me, I'm going to give Aladdin an A. I don't know. I paused because I was like, do I really want to give this an A? And I was like trying to think of things. But like, no, for what it is, I'm going to give it an A, and I'm okay with giving it an A, and you guys can disagree with me if you want, but if you do, let me know why. You can let me know by commenting on the Instagram post related to this episode, or you can tweet me on Twitter, but I will talk to you guys in the next episode. Get ready, because it's a lot of finale shows that we have to talk about, and they're coming back to back this week, so stay tuned for that, and I'll talk to you guys in the next episode. Stay up to date on new episodes by subscribing and following. You can find Currently Binging on multiple listening platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. Take the discussion beyond the episode by following on Instagram @CurrentlyBinging and on Twitter @CurrentBinge.